Amen. Now, you know what next Sunday is, right? It's water baptism. And then the Sunday after that is Father's Day. Yay. Which is kind of great, too. But next Sunday is also... Thank you, Keith. Next Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. It is the anniversary and the celebration of the Sunday that God kept his promise and Jesus gave the Holy Spirit in filling people in a new way, beyond breathing on people and saying, receive the Holy Spirit, which Jesus could do because, as the Bible says, Jesus became a life-giving spirit. Remember, we read that. That was one of the verses. I love that when we start seeing how God, the Holy Spirit, inspires his word and puts it all together so that they'd receive the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about this, believe, receive, wait or stay, and go. These four directives that Jesus gives. And he says, okay, you're going to go into all the world. You're going to be my witnesses. But first, you wait until you receive power from on high. We come to the topic or the subject of the Holy Spirit. We have so many different ideas. And so many churches, well, I believe this, I think this, or I think that. And it can be, the topic of the Holy Spirit can be something that... that divides us, and it's not surprising that it does, because Jesus said, wait until the Holy Spirit comes, and you will receive power. And it's not surprising that the enemy does all he can to confuse us, to divide us, to stop us from receiving all that God has for us in the Holy Spirit and through the Holy Spirit. When we start reading the Word of God, especially when we get into the New Testament, let me back up just a little bit. Old Testament, we see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, don't we? Throughout the Old Testament. But the Old Testament gives us the picture of God the Father, primarily, right? God the Father. And then we come to the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. We see God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But the Gospels are the picture of God the Son, Jesus, right? But as Jesus is talking, as Jesus is getting his disciples and us ready, he looks ahead beyond the time he will go back to heaven, and he prepares them, and he wants us to be prepared for the time of the Holy Spirit, which is now. And so when we come to the New Testament, go ahead and think about it this way. From Acts on until the end, everything that we read, the life of the believer, the life of the church, everything that Paul says about living like a Christian, everything that Peter says about this is how we submit to one another, everything that James says about practical, about faith, everything that the writer of Hebrews, whom we do not know, talks about this is what it means to live by faith, and there's all of these things, everything that John says about we love one another, everything, is through the life, the indwelling, the power, the equipping, the understanding, the presence, the partnership of the Holy Spirit. That is how we understand Acts to Revelation. It is the Holy Spirit. You say, well, yeah, but Jesus, yes. But what does Jesus say as he's preparing his disciples before he returns to heaven? I'm going away, but I'm going to send another one. And when he says another one, I know this is old territory for us, but it's good for us to hear it again. When Jesus says, I'm sending another one, they understood from his language that Jesus was saying, I am sending someone like me. And so there was no reason for fear. There was no reason for doubt. There was no reason to wonder, ooh, what is this counselor like? What is this comforter like? This encourager, this advocate, this paraclete, the one who comes alongside to strengthen and help. That's what it means in the Greek. There was no question about the nature of the one who was coming to take the place of Jesus. Jesus said, he will be like me. And it's better for me to go back to heaven. If I were to ask some of you today, you would say, yeah, but I'd really like to see Jesus right now, wouldn't we? Wouldn't you love to see that? Well, he wouldn't need to open the door because, you know, he's in his glorified body. He could just, he'd be here and he'd scare us as much as he scared the disciples. Go ahead and face it. We'd love that, right? And how can it be that Jesus says, there's someone better than I am. There's someone better than I am. And Jesus passes into the hands of the Holy Spirit, the care of the Holy Spirit, the leadership of the Holy Spirit, the providing of the Holy Spirit, his church. You. Jesus has taken you and he has put you into the care of the Holy Spirit. And so when we live our lives and we come to the Word of God, it is through the Holy Spirit. It is through the Holy Spirit. And if we don't understand that, we will be living way below how God wants us to live. If we don't get it straight and don't get it right, we may be afraid. We may be satisfied with where we are or how we are. Or, yes, I'm a Christian and this is good and this is good enough. What Jesus wants us to know in the Holy Spirit is this. There is more. There is more. There is more for me. There is more for you. We never reach full enough in Jesus. He always has more for us. And so as we look at this, we're looking this morning, we're going to be looking ahead in the weeks ahead. You know I love Pentecost Sunday. I love talking about water baptism, and I love water baptism. I mean, I really love water baptism because it shows us new life. It shows us new life. Not perfect life, not this, but new life. Every new life has to begin somewhere. So I love water baptism, but you know I love Pentecost, and I love talking about the Holy Spirit because he is the one, brothers and sisters, that will get us from here to heaven. He is the one that will walk with us in this world and strengthen us. When Jesus said to his disciples, I will be with you forever. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I give you something to do and I am with you as you do it. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. 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 Rain is coming. By rain, I mean the Holy Spirit. More of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So, today for just a short while, I want to talk about Jesus, the Holy Spirit, and you. I thought for a while, how do I put this together? How do I title it? I think this is the best I can do. And I want to, as we get into this, I want to give us just a kind of a framework. So on the night that Jesus, he's going to be crucified in just a few hours, and we talked about this before, one of his main topics is the Holy Spirit, because he knows he's going to go away, right? He knows he's leaving, so he starts telling them, this is about the Holy Spirit. Why hasn't he talked about the Holy Spirit before that time, while he was with him? If the Holy Spirit is so important, why hasn't he been talking about the Holy Spirit all that time? Because Jesus was with them. Jesus was with them. But the time is coming that Jesus is not going to be with them in the flesh or in a body, the Holy Spirit's going to be with them. And so he's preparing them, and there's a transition. Nevertheless, the life of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the beginning of Acts, the life of Jesus, the message of Jesus, the works of Jesus, the miracles of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, the teaching of Jesus is all through the anointing and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we have to get that. Or else we'll try to do it ourselves. Or else we'll work really hard. Or else I'll try with all my best, with all my willpower. And we'll never make it that way. And so Jesus in himself shows us how. And then he points us forward. So look at John 15, 26 and 27. This is the few hours before he is arrested. He's betrayed, arrested, and then he goes to the cross. Look at what it says very quickly. Jesus says, when the helper comes, whenever I use this verse, I always like, oh, what word should I use? There's so many wonderful words for the word helper. Helper, comforter, encourager, counselor, advocate, all of these words. And they all in the Greek, in the original language, they all mean the same thing. They're all in that. So that should be so encouraging to us to know he's all of those things. But in its most complete explanation, whenever you see counselor or comforter, it always means someone who is called alongside to help. That's the literal meaning. So Jesus says, when the helper comes, the one I will send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who proceeds from the Father. So we see Father, Son, Spirit, right? There's never a conflict between the three. There's never a difference between the three. They are the same. Different in form, different in ministries, administrations at times, but the same. That blows my mind because my mind is human, but I'll find out in heaven. If you have insight in that now, you come and tell me about it. I'm still working on that one. And Jesus says, he will testify about me. So testify is a fancy word, right? What does it mean? He'll talk about me. He will be a witness for me. He will show me. He will reveal. So when do we use the word testify? We use it in church, right? But we also use it in court, right? A witness is called to testify in court. And he comes and he stands. And in the U.S. anyhow, he puts, most of the time, they put their hand on the Bible back when America was a Christian nation. And they put their hand on the Bible and they raise their hand and they say, do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth? So help you God. And the witness says, I do. I will. And then they sit down. And then what do? They testify, right? Stephen. That was so ouch. You know what Stephen said? He says, then they tell a lie. Unfortunately, that's true sometimes, right? It's called perjury. You go to prison for it. But segue. But here's the great thing. When the Holy Spirit testifies, he never lies. He always tells the truth. And you know who he's going to talk about? He's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to talk about Jesus. He's going to say, this is what Jesus is like. He's going to reveal Jesus. He's going to show Jesus. He's going to everything that you need to know, because it is the life of Jesus, right? So we're trying to figure out, well, is it Holy Spirit or it's Jesus? It's both. It's both, right? We see in Jesus, but the power of it is through the Holy Spirit. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, what he's going to do is he's going to testify. And when you testify, we assume you're going to tell the truth, although you're right, they sometimes lie. And the Holy Spirit is going to say, he's going to talk, he's going to say what is true about Jesus. We live in a world where there's so much crookedness. We live in a world where people use words to manipulate. We live in a world where people try to twist things this way and that way. There is one you can trust. You can trust the Holy Spirit. He is God, and He speaks the truth. And what He speaks to you and what He says to you, you can count on. You can rely on. He will not manipulate you. He is what? He's the Spirit of truth. He's the Spirit of truth. So if you're studying about the Holy Spirit, just start making a list of the names and the character of the Holy Spirit, of God the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He'll lead you into all truth. Sometimes we can go this way or that way for a while. That happened to me one time. It's happened to some of us. So guess what? We're all in the same boat. I kind of got off on a whatever, but you know what? The Spirit of truth didn't give up, and He brought me back. He brought me back. And so we keep on. The Spirit of truth keeps leading us. And so Jesus says He's going to testify about me. And here's the great thing, verse 27, and you will also testify about me. Oh, but I'm weak. I'm this, I'm that. Don't worry. You know what? Holy Spirit's living in you. What does the Holy Spirit do? He testifies about Jesus. He talks about Jesus. He shows Jesus. As imperfect as we are, as broken as we are, as weak as we are, as messed up as we are, nevertheless, God, the Holy Spirit, has chosen to come and make His home with you and in you to show Jesus, and to make you like Jesus too. Amen? Y'all are a little bit quiet, but this is true. This is true. Now let's see. I'm on the first paragraph of page 1 of 4, and it is, don't look at your watches. Okay. Let me put it this way. So Jesus comes, and what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit is he's going to show Jesus, right? Let me show you very quickly how He does this even before Jesus is born. Look really quickly. This is after Mary. Gabriel has appeared to Mary, and Gabriel says the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Gabriel says comes from God with the message. And we know that. We'll look at it in just a minute. And he says, you're going to have a child, and it will be from God. And Mary is maybe 13 or 14. She's a virgin. She has never been with a man. And she never says, uh-uh. She says, how? Huh? You know. And Gabriel says, well, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. Let me see if I can find that real quickly, because I'm skipping around. Hang on just a minute. Can you find that, Andreas? It's not showing on... Ah, here we go. Luke 1:34-35. How can this be since I'm a virgin? The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. So when we look at this, think about this just a minute. The song that we sang this morning about when we speak the name of Jesus. So in these days, how do things that are dead come alive in our lives today? Well, it's the name of Jesus, but it's through the power of the Holy Spirit, right? The Holy Spirit is the one who brings life. So here's Mary. She's willing for God to do something, but she's a virgin. How's a child going to come out of a virgin? No way. But the power of the Most High, the Holy Spirit, brings life. Amen? He brings life. And Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power. Oh, I like that word. Remember what we talked about last week? Pray this week. I don't know if you did or not. I hope you did. Holy Spirit power be at work in my life. Holy Spirit power be at work in my life. And Gabriel says, the power of the Most High will overshadow you. What power is that? What power is that? Holy Spirit, what word is that? Acts 1:8. You should have that memorized. What is Acts 1:8? You will receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. Same word that Jesus uses to his disciples. You will receive power. What is that word power? Dunamis, miracle power, dynamite power. That's where we get the word dynamite. It comes from that original Greek word, dunamis, dynamite. And it means miracle power. So it's miracle power. And so we see that where the Holy Spirit comes, he brings, okay, so he brings life. I'm going to skip over. Hang on just a minute. Let me see what I can skip over. Okay, here we go. Here we go. I want to get to this part. Okay. Is this it? Yes. Okay, here we go. So I'm moving ahead. If you go back and read about the before Jesus is born, Zechariah and Elizabeth, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. Later in the temple, 8 days old, Simeon is full of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit leads him to the temple to announce this is the one that has been sent from God. Why? Because the Holy Spirit testifies about Jesus, even in his birth, even in his birth. See, here's the thing. When you and I let the Holy Spirit work in our lives and in our hearts, we don't have to work so hard. We don't have to strive so much. The Holy Spirit's going to show Jesus in our lives. He's going to make us like Jesus. He's going to work on us in those parts that we've been trying to work on so hard. He's going to show Jesus. You say, how? Because that's what he does. That's what he does. That's part of his job description. It's one of the main parts of his job description. That's what he's going to do in you. Amen? Amen. Okay, look, Luke 3:21-22, water baptism next week. When all the people were being baptized, Holy Spirit present at the birth of Jesus, then we don't hear anything about Jesus for 30-ish years, right? John comes, he starts baptizing for repentance. Jesus comes, and what do we see? We read when all the people were being baptized, Jesus was baptized too, and as he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. I don't understand that. Did a dove flutter? I don't think so. What does that mean? I don't really know. I don't think it was a dove that came and sat down on top of his head. It was like a dove, though, right? Maybe it was gentle. Maybe that's what it means. It was gentle. It was peaceful. It was those things. Maybe that's what it means. And the Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove. So that means something could be seen. Huh? Could it be seen by everyone? I don't know if it could be seen by everyone. I think Jesus saw, and I think John the Baptist saw. Because remember later, John the Baptist says, the one on whom the Spirit descends, that's the one that will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. That's the one. So John the Baptist saw something. And a voice came from heaven. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus the Son. Holy Spirit. And then the Father. The voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased. With you, I am well pleased. I want to talk about that just a minute. And we're going to come back to some of this. We're going to come back to some of this next week. This is something the Lord has been putting on my heart this week. So here is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're in perfect harmony. And he's baptized. Heaven opens. Holy Spirit descends. The voice of the Father says, you're my Son, whom I love. With you, I'm well pleased. And I want us to see something this morning. I'm going to come back to this next week. I want to go ahead and read another verse for us this morning that will make a difference. Jesus hasn't done anything here yet, has he? Has he performed any miracle? No. Has he been teaching anything? No. He hasn't done anything. But he is the Son of God. Now, the moment you said yes to Jesus, guess what happened to you? Are you ready? The Holy Spirit came. upon you and into you. Like a dove? I don't know. We'll find out in heaven. We'd like that, wouldn't we? I don't know. But he came. The Holy Spirit came. And guess what God the Father said? You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. I am very pleased with you. Why is this so important for you to know? Many of us this morning are living with scars and experiences and a history of rejection, of isolation, lack of love, performance-oriented relationships. Is this not true? It's true in so many. You've got to be really good. You've got to do this. You've got to measure up. And if you don't measure up, then I hold you at arm's length, right? We live with this. We want love. We want to belong. We want to be accepted. And sometimes we and the world around us, we make horrible decisions. We make terrible choices to try to fix this, to try to be loved, to try to be accepted, to try to please someone, right? Do we not? We do, and we seldom, because if it comes from the world, it's always broken. Folks, the best of us, we're broken. I'm broken. But I know a name. And he's fixing me. You got to get this morning. The Holy Spirit comes down. Now, Jesus was not a sinner who had to be born again. But here's the picture. When you said yes to Jesus, the Holy Spirit came. And the voice of God, your Father, whether you heard him or not, said, I love you, and you are my child. I am well pleased with you. You say, Pastor Jan, you're stretching it. Guess what? I'm not. I do know the word of God, and I do pray. Ready? Look at this. Here's the work of the Holy Spirit. This is why we give him room in our hearts and in our lives. This is why we have to listen to him. Ready? Romans 8, 15 and 16. Romans 8, that great chapter, one of the great chapters in the New Testament, in the Bible. Shall we read it together? For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship or daughtership. When we say sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Isn't that great? Amen. Amen. That's the same thing. No joke. That's the same thing that we read about Jesus when he's being baptized, right? The Holy Spirit comes. He's going to talk about Jesus. It's all life in the Spirit. He comes and he lives in us. And his voice to you this morning, his voice to me this morning is, God is your Father. God is your Father. And our response is, yes, Daddy, you're my dad. You're my dad. And the Spirit does what? He's testifying. Does the Spirit lie? Does the Spirit lie? He does not lie. He testifies with our spirit. We're God's children. We're God's children. How many times has the devil accused you when you blew it? When you didn't get it just right? God's mad at you. He's disappointed in you. Look at you. You slipped again. How can you be a child of God? We have all heard that voice, right? It's the voice of the devil. But it doesn't sound like the devil. It sounds like the voice of reason. Well, of course, God's disappointed in us. God says, no, I'm not. I'm pleased with you. I love you. you're my child. This is the voice of the Spirit. You say, well, I don't really hear that. You know why we don't hear the voice of the Spirit sometimes? We don't hear the voice of the Spirit because we're listening to so many other voices. We're listening to this TikTok influencer. Don't get me started on that. Seriously, you know it. You know it, right? I like a TikTok influencer that talks about Jesus for a while instead of whatever. Anyhow, but we are. We're listening to so many different voices. We're listening to the news all the time. We're listening to influencers. We're listening to all of these things. We got to cut out some voices and give the Holy Spirit some time. Listen to what he says to you. Okay, got one more for you. Ah, look at this one. Oh, got to... Okay, I'm not going to say that. Ephesians 1, 5. Here's another one that fits with Jesus being baptized in the voice of the Father, Romans, and then Ephesians 1, 5. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Isn't that encouraging? It gave him great pleasure. Listen. God, the creator of the universe, the one who made everything, the one through whom he spoke and worlds, everything came into being, God could have had any relationship with you that he wanted to because everything came from him. Or no relationship, right? No relationship. Instead, God made the world. God made, oh, he made cats. Thank you, Lord. And for the rest of you, Alana's saying, yeah, and Mama's saying, yuck, right? He made dogs. Yay. Okay. And then he made all these other things, too. I am an equal opportunity animal lover, okay? But aside from that, seriously. So he made all these things, then he made us. And you know what God decided? God decided what type of relationship he wanted to have with you. I want you to think about that this morning as we come to a close on page 2 at the top. I want you to think about this because some of you struggle with a sense of value and worth. Some of you feel I'm not really worth a lot. I haven't done a lot. I'm not this and I'm not that. God found you worthy enough, lovable enough, that he said, I'm going to create you to have a relationship with you, and the relationship I want to have with you is father-child. Not the broken relationships of the world that we see, but the best of all perfect possible relationships, father and child. And he says, I love you. You are my son. You are my daughter. And I am pleased with you. When you know that, and when I know that, we can stand when storms come our way. We can stand when temptations come that try to move us and try to shake us. How can I say that? We don't have time to look this morning, but I'll give you something to read. If you want to look at what happens right after Jesus is baptized, water baptized, and then the full of the Holy Spirit comes upon him. What it means is it encloses him. It enrobes him. It covers him. That's what it means, which is interesting because then he also says in Luke, you wait in Jerusalem until you are clothed with power from on high, right? Holy Spirit power. Same thing. Do you know what happens right after the baptism of Jesus and the voice, you're my son, I'm pleased with you, I love you? He goes out into the wilderness. And what happens in the wilderness where he's fasting and praying for 40 days, what happens? He's tempted of the devil. He's tempted of the devil. We don't have time to get into this, but I want you to hang on to this because everything that Jesus did, he did for us. Everything through the power of the Spirit that he accomplished, he did it for us. He accomplished it for us. He goes out into the wilderness full of the Holy Spirit, and the devil tempts him. And how does the devil tempt him? If you are the Son of God. Aren't you glad that Jesus was full of the Holy Spirit and that his Father had said to him, "You are my Son. I'm pleased with you and I love you." How are you and I going to stand? How are you and I going to face all of these things that come against us? Through the Holy Spirit, as he testifies to you, you are God's child. He is pleased with you, and he loves you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. It's time to stop. Oh, I've got a whole sermon for next week. I don't know if I'm going to preach it or not. But seriously, you go back. You go back and look. Be encouraged. What did God want to do? He wanted to make us his children. He wanted to bring us into his family. And it gave him great pleasure. I don't understand that. But that's what he said. And so I believe it. Let's close in prayer. Here's your homework assignment. You keep reading about the Holy Spirit. You keep thinking on this. Go back and read these. And you ask for the Holy Spirit. Here's last week, Holy Spirit, work your power in me and through me. Here's your assignment this week. Holy Spirit, speak to me. That's your assignment. Now you can pray other things if you want to, but please include this every day and then give him time to speak. Yeah? Some of us say, "Holy Spirit, speak to me." And we go running off. Give him some time. Holy Spirit, speak to me. Holy Spirit, testify about Jesus in me and through me. Amen? Through me. Let's pray. Father, Son, Spirit, we are so glad that you're in agreement, that you say the same thing. We are grateful and we hear, Holy Spirit, we hear your voice testifying to us right now. That God, we are your son. I am your son. I am your daughter. You love me and you are pleased with me. I believe you because you never lie. You always tell the truth. Would you work out these things in my life this week? Would you testify about Jesus to me and through me? Would you speak to me this week? I want to hear your voice that says true things to me. In the name of Jesus, we all pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Water baptism? Let me know.